What a truth that is. Jesus is not dead. He rose from the dead. We want to talk about the power of the cross of Christ and His resurrection. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verses 13 through 21. If you will, stand with me in honor of God's word. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne, we just thank you, Lord, that you have opened up that straight way into heaven. And that straight way is Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. Lord, open our understanding that we may grasp your truth and leave this place filled with your Spirit and serving you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Jesus is giving us a very distinct warning here. He says that there are people who will name him as their Lord, but they will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so then he warns us to beware of false prophets. A lot of the people are going to go to hell today because somebody has told them the wrong gospel. Paul said to the church, I believe it was at Corinth, he said, if somebody comes preaching another gospel other than what you have received, let him be accursed. But today, people say, well, we got to band together. We want to unify. No matter what we believe, don't let doctrine separate. Doctrine must separate. We must stick to the truth of God's word. And whenever somebody is teaching something that's not true, the reason we must stand against it is because it will tear down the very gospel that will save. Because if we don't understand the gospel, then we cannot embrace the gospel in such a way as to receive Christ as our Savior. Now, the first thing I want you to see in this passage is the door. Look with me again at verse 13 and 14. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, there's a couple of things here. He says that the way into heaven is very narrow. A lot of people say, well, what that means is you got to quit smoking and cussing and chewing and doing all those things, and that's the narrowness of the way. No, it's not. Some people say, well, you get saved by grace, but then you've got to walk that narrow way or you'll lose your salvation. No, you don't. You know what the narrow way is? The narrow way is Jesus Christ. That's it. And he says, most of the people that live in this planet, and this just boggles my mind, most of the people that live on this planet are going to die and go to hell. Many of them will go to hell from a church pew because they have been misled. And we'll look at that in a minute. Because Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything from it, or you nullify it. It's not Jesus plus my efforts. It's Jesus and Him alone. Let's look at the salvation. What constitutes salvation? Look at John 10, 9 through 11. Jesus says, I am the door. What door? The door he's talking about. This narrow door. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. I want you to notice that he says any man. He does not exclude anybody. He says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Then look at the next verse. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Now, what's he talking about the thief here? There are a lot of people who make merchandise of men's souls for their own greediness and their own pleasure. He says they just come to take the sheep and make merchandise of them. I come to give them life. You see, all you have to do if you're the devil is get somebody to tweak the gospel just a little bit and it won't save. And so he's saying here that there are thieves coming. They're not the shepherd. And if you listen to the thieves, you're going to go to hell because you're going to miss that narrow way. And the broad way is everything else. We don't have to list all the wrong ways because anything except the right way is the wrong way. Now look at the next verse. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now notice he didn't say, I'll tell you how you ought to walk to stay on that narrow path. No, he says, I gave my life for the sheep. What purchases heaven for you? Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross of Calvary. That's salvation. It is not about trying harder. It is about trusting. It is all about Jesus. Now let's look at sanctification. You see, a lot of people get hung up right here. I was taught when I was a kid, you get saved by grace, but if you don't live right, you lose it. Have to get saved again and again and again and again. Listen to what God says. John 14, verse 4 through 6. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I love that. If you got Jesus, you got the way. Brother Ricky, I'm on my road to heaven for one reason alone. It's because Jesus lives in my heart. If you're going to heaven, that's the only reason you're going to get there. Sanctification is when we realize we have nothing to offer God. Just like salvation comes when we know that there is nothing we have to offer God. All we can do is say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he comes in, he puts life into that dead spirit, seals us into the day of redemption, and then takes us to walk with him. Now, too many times we think, okay, got that settled, now I'm going to live holy the rest of my life by the power of my will. We get up in the morning and we go out saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, only to come back in the evening saying, I thought I could, I thought I could. And we wear that out until one day we say, Lord, this is not going to work. This is not happening. I can't do this. And God says, I'm glad you finally got to that conclusion. Been trying to tell you that all along. I'm the way. Not only is he the salvation, he is the way. He is the sanctification. And so we call on the Lord at the same identical place that we got saved. We come back to that place where we say, Lord, I can do nothing. Lord, I have this problem with a sinful nature. And I can cover it up. And I can paint over it. And I can try to subdue it. But it's still there. Lord, take away my desire for sin. You know what he does? He lifts you out of the miry clay of your old sinful nature and places you in that spiritual nature, and then he lives his life through you. I am the way. Jesus didn't come to show you the way. He came to be your way and to carry you to glory. Praise God for that. Listen, Jesus said, when the sun sets you free, you're free. If we've got to do anything to help God save us, we'll all go to hell. We are saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Now let's look at the sacrifice. Mark chapter 8, verse 31 through 37. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him, began to rebuke him. But when he turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. When he had called them unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me ask you something. Is there anything in this world worth going to hell for? If you answer anything but no, you need to think that over. Because this world is going to play out. This world is going to be destroyed. This world is going to be burned up. Then where are you going to be? Where's all your toys going to be? And before it burns up, you may leave it. Right now, we're just waiting for the undertaker or the upper taker, one or the other. And all the stuff we leave behind is just going to be left behind for no purpose whatsoever. But the things that we send on to glory, they'll be waiting for us when we get there. Whatever that means. But I want you to know that whenever he says we need to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him, that is not a motivation to try harder. Now listen to me, folks. It is a motivation to crucify your flesh. Take up your cross. What's the purpose of the cross? It is to die on. The Lord is telling us you've got to come to the end of you and human effort and lose your life and all that you can do to try to walk that narrow path. You've got to lose all that. You just get on that cross and you say, Lord, I am crucified with you. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what it means to be crucified. As long as there is 1 ounce of I think I can left in you, you've got to go a little further. Keep on carrying that cross. But the end of carrying that cross is when you stick it in the ground and crawl upon it. You say, Lord, I can't do this. I need you. And then he comes to the rescue just like he did when he saved us to start with. Now let's talk about the deception. In this passage, he spends a lot of the space talking about deception. Why? Because the narrow way, pretty clear. And there's a whole lot of deception out there. Deception is called deception because it deceives. If deception wasn't deceptive, it wouldn't be a problem. But because it deceives many people who really want to serve God, it becomes very destructive. You can go to hell with good intentions. A lot of people are going to be in hell thinking they're on their road to heaven. And that breaks my heart. But I'm going to tell you who's going to be in the hottest part of hell. It's those that sent them there by false doctrine. Because they are the ones who have the position of responsibility. I want you to know I take this responsibility very seriously because of that. Because I know that one day I'm going to have to answer to God for what I told you. It is not my job to keep you in line. It is not my job to try to control you or to make you look like me, talk like me, act like me. My job is to point you to the only hope of heaven, and that is Jesus Christ and him alone. Listen to what he says. Beware. Don't overlook that word. Beware. You say, oh, I know the truth. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who thought they knew the truth who have been deceived by false prophets. Beware of false prophets, which come to you, and listen to this, in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep, but inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Took me a long time to figure out what he meant by that. You know, I get the picture of the wolf putting the sheep's clothes on. You remember the cartoon where he would sneak in among the sheep, and while the shepherd wasn't looking, he'd grab a sheep and take off with it. Whenever people are deceived, what they need in their deception is a whole lot of people agreeing with their deception. And so what they try to do is gather up all the sheep that they can around them so that they feel secure. You know why? Because inside they're ravening wolves and they know it. They've not been set free. They may be Christian, but they're not set free. They know nothing of sanctification by grace through faith, or they would not be ravening wolves. And so because of that, they need to gather people so they can all say, I think we're right. You think we're right? I think we're right. Yeah. We all agree. And we have to have something to back us up, somebody with some credentials agreeing with us so that we can feel pretty good about this because we're taking a big step here. What if we're wrong? And so we have deception. The Lord says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, I want you to listen to me right here. People talk about being fruit inspectors in people's lives. And when they say that, what they're talking about is how they live their life. But you know what the Lord is talking about? He's talking about your disciples. The fruit you produce as a false prophet is the disciple you make. Now, if that disciple is on the road to heaven and he is serving God by the power of God's grace, he's a good disciple. He's good fruit. But if that disciple is spewing out the same garbage that the false prophet taught him, he then becomes a part of the problem, not a part of the cure. God says they're going to be cut down, thrown in the fire. You know why? Almost every false prophet starts with somebody who is a true believer but mixed up in their doctrine. Almost every time. Alexander Campbell is an example of that. He was a Baptist preacher, got hung up on baptismal regeneration, started the Church of Christ. Now, Alexander Campbell, as far as I know, was a Christian man. He's going to go to heaven. But what about the fruit? What about the people who think they're saved by going into the water and coming out of the water? They're going to hell. So by the fruits, you can know the false prophet. What road is the fruit on? How are they getting there? Well, let's examine. We have gone through just recently a real problem with the Calvinist movement ripping through our church. And I want you to know something. Those who believe that only the chosen are going to go to heaven are false prophets. It's heresy. It is another Jesus. The Jesus that I serve, the Jesus that I preach, the Jesus that I represent says, it is not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He didn't just choose to save a few. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Listen to Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not just the chosen. You say, well, what's wrong with that idea? What's wrong with believing that only the chosen go to heaven? You end up with the same group of people, don't you? I prayed and talked with a man for hours who wanted to go to heaven. But he said, I've been listening to John Piper on the radio. And he said, I just can't figure out how to know if I'm elect or not. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But how do I know? That's a good question. His name wasn't anywhere in the Bible to see where he was elect. And I said, well, why don't you just call on the name of the Lord? He said, I can't call on the name of the Lord unless I'm elect. And I finally told the man, I said, you know, son, you're going to go to hell. Probably not your fault, but you're going to go to hell. Please don't expose your children to this same heresy, or you'll send them to hell too. Folks, it's time we take a stand for truth. It is not all right with God if you believe heresy. Then there is the heresy that only the clean go to heaven. 1 Timothy 1:15-17 says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that is in me first Jesus Christ, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now what's he saying? Look at verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, you know why we have this treasure in an earthen vessel? So that the excellency, the power might be of God, not of us. You see, I have heard many sermons on getting to heaven by being clean, because I grew up in a church that believed that. Some of those people, like myself, got saved in a moment of desperation when we just cried out to God for mercy because we couldn't do it. We didn't know what we had, but we had it. And I thank God he finally showed me what I had. But whenever somebody tells you, you can lose your salvation, or you've got to live a certain way after you're saved, or you never were saved, it's the same doctrine. Now, I want you to know, God hates sin. And God has commanded that we be holy, that we be perfect, that we sin not. But he only commands what he provides for. And he is the one who performs in us what he started. He is faithful who has called you, who also will do it. And whenever we start adding to it, we mess up. Had somebody tell me one time, I know we're eternally saved, but don't tell the rest of the people because they'll sin. It's a form of control. Truth of the matter is, where we mess up, folks, is we think about sin as what's in our flesh. What God looks at is what's in our heart. I told you last week, you take a leper, and he's got leprosy all over his body. He can cover it every bit up. He can put a coat on. He can put a ski mask on and just peek out through the eye holes. Don't even cut a hole for his mouth. Put gloves on. He's going to look like everybody else. But he's still a leper. And if we get people to follow a set of rules, all we've done is covered up their sin. Because it's still in the heart. You see, when God says be holy, he's talking about way down there where it matters, and that is in your soul. Can't do that. Well, God knew that. That's the reason Jesus came. That's the reason Jesus is the way. What we have to do is die to self so that Jesus can live through us. That's the way. Then there's the idea that only the church to go to heaven. I wish everybody in the whole world that was a Christian would go to church. Church is a wonderful thing. Church is where we find strength to hang on. Church is where we find encouragement for one another. Sometimes you may not need the encouragement, but somebody sitting beside you may. If your seat's open, somebody's missing a blessing by you not being there. I'm all about church. I've been going to church since 9 months before I was born. And I hope I die going to church. But I want you to know church attendance won't save anybody. And let me go a step further. Church attendance won't help you get to heaven, other than the fact you hear the gospel. Church is for you, folks. And you need church. You may not know it, but you need it. You see all these people sitting around here that have put their faith in Jesus Christ like you have? They go through the same struggles you go through. And you need the encouragement of knowing Jesus can handle their problems and he can handle your problems. Listen to what Romans 15, 5 through 13 says. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Let me tell you something. If you're a born again child of God, you're going to go to heaven whether you go to church or not. I try to be very careful not to scold people for not coming to church. You know why? Because I don't want you to misunderstand that I'm telling you you can't be a Christian unless you're in church. I think that anybody that doesn't go to church on a regular basis miss a tremendous blessing. Church is for you. It's like mandatory fun. You know, you don't have to come to church, but you better. Because that's where God visits us. In collection. Now what do I mean in collection? When we're all here together. The Bible says when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You say, you mean he's not with me if I'm out by myself? Yes, he is. But there's something special about brothers and sisters joined together in church. Lifting up collective worship to God. But I try to be very careful about that. Because I don't want to deceive you into thinking that's going to help you in your pursuit of heaven. Because it's not. Now, it may help you in your pursuit of holiness. Because you learn. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. So you can learn that here, because we all are in the same boat together. All right, let's look on down to verse 21. Let's look at the directions. Here's the directions. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So we want to get to heaven, we've got to do the will of the Father. Now don't take off too fast to do the will of the Father, because you'll liable to end up with the Ten Commandments in your hand. That's not the will of the Father. You know what the will of the Father is? Well, let's look at John 6:40, and he'll tell us. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the will of the Father. Jesus comes to die for your sins, and then when you see him, no, you say, well, wait a minute, I've never seen Jesus. You can see him with your spiritual eyes if they're not blinded in the gospel. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. When you see Jesus there, and you see Jesus, what he has done for you, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When we see Jesus in the gospel message, and we turn our eyes upon Jesus, and we call upon his name for salvation, that's the will of God. Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Now let's look at the warning. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Now let me give you a little background on this. This is the end. This is the invitation to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord lays out all of his philosophy of life. This is what Jesus is about. When we get to the end of it, he has this to say. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now listen to what he's saying. You have got to build your house on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And if you fail to do that, he says you're being foolish. What's the alternative to that? Building your life on anything else. Period. You see, in order for us to build our life on Jesus Christ, we got to believe his philosophy of life is right. See, it's not the same. Say, well, I want to go to hell. And so if Jesus has died for me, I'll pray the prayer. But I don't want this whole, if somebody hits me upside my head, I got to turn them and let them have a shot at the other side. And I don't want this thing where if somebody steals something from me, I got to, if he takes my coat, I got to give him my cloak. And if somebody does me wrong, I'm supposed to rejoice and be exceeding glad. I don't want any part of that. You haven't bought into God's philosophy for life. You say, well, I like the idea, but I just can't do it. That's cool. God's the one who has to do it. But you see, we've got to have the desire in our heart. We got to see. When we see Jesus, if we say, that's it, that's the life I've been looking for. That's the way I want to be. Not there, but that's the way I want to be. We're going to build on that foundation. And no matter what foundation you build on, the rain's coming, flood's coming, wind's coming. And if it falls, It falls for one reason. So you got time to change foundations. Don't just start building back in the same place. You know, Lord, if you'll forgive me one more time, I'll never do it again. Just keep on building right there in that sand. It keeps on falling. The Lord made it clear what He's for. Confession is to agree with Him. Say, Lord, I agree. You're right. Jesus is right. Have you ever come to that conclusion? Jesus is right. I'm going to tell you how convinced I am that Jesus is right. Even if there wasn't a heaven or a hell, I'd want to live my life for Jesus. He's right. It is harmful to me to sin. And whoever sees the Son and believes on Him shall have everlasting life. Here's the welcome. Revelation 22:17 says this. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now you know what the next verse says. Now if any man changes the words of this book and takes away any part of this, I'm going to take away his part out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And if any man adds to this, I am going to add to him the plagues of this book. Now, what's that against, false prophets? God said, don't tamper. Don't tamper. It's all about me. It's not about you. It's not about getting people to do what you want them to do by scaring them or teaching them something that the Word doesn't teach. You just lay it out there and you say, whosoever will, may come. And if you're thirsty, come to Jesus. And we try to convince people, come to Jesus. But you know, sometimes people have already heard the wrong doctrine. And when they hear come to Jesus, they have a whole different concept of what that means than what we're talking about. Oh, if I come to Jesus, I got to stop doing this and stop doing this and stop doing this, and I'll have to turn over a new leaf, and I just don't think I can live up to it, and on and on and on. You see, the false teaching is widespread. You know why? Because it's so easy. Anything but the truth is heresy. And there's so many brands of heresy out there, you can just pick and choose whatever you want. And they all lead to the same place, as to hell. But if you come to the water of life and bring your thirst there, He will give you living water. Remember the woman at the well? She was religious. And he struck up a conversation with her. He said, give me a drink out of your bucket. She said, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. There's no dealings between the Jews and the Samaritans. Now, why do you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? That didn't bother Jesus at all. Jesus said, if you knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would ask him, and he'd give you living water. She said, the well is deep. And you don't even... Jesus said, woman, I tell you, the day is coming, and now is, when they that worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And about that time, all of His disciples came. And the woman left her water pot and just run back. You know what she said? Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Is not this the Messiah? You see, when she's seen Jesus, there's something about Jesus. You just know He's right. It just draws you. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And when you see Jesus, you've got to fight it if you don't want to get saved. Because he'll draw you. And the devil's whispering in your ear the whole time, wait a minute, he's gonna hurt you. He's going to make you do things. He's going to judge you. Get away from Jesus. If you can just get away from him, it'll all go away. And so many times we listen and we run. But Jesus is there to save. I want you to know this morning, Jesus is here. And he has just as much power to save as he has ever had. If you're here without Jesus today, you come without price for the living water. Freely, he says. That means there's nothing for you to do. You don't have to turn over a new leaf. He'll take you just the way you are. He won't leave you there, but he'll take you just the way you are. And then he'll start his work in your life. You're the clay. He's the potter. And oh, what a wonderful place to be. I love being clay in the potter's hand. Amen? Only he could do what he wants done. And I thank God I just get to go along for the ride. You will never, ever have a better opportunity than right now to receive Christ as your Savior. You never will. It may be some of you have been led astray by false doctrine. And you've believed something like you've got to work your way to heaven, or if you sin, you lose your salvation, have to get saved again, or something silly like that. Let me tell you, Jesus says, whosoever will, let him drink the water of life freely. Come to the well.